Support for the Commodity Week podcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign with crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at sfarmmarketing.com. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the March 30 edition of Commodity Week. USDA's second quarter grain stocks and prospective plantings report spurred a bullish day in Chicago Friday, but it was not enough to turn around weekly or monthly losses in the old and new crop corn. We'll ask our analysts if they're comfortable with the numbers today on Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with Steve Freed of ADM Investor Services in Chicago, Illinois. Our panelists in studio today include Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing out of Champaign, Illinois, Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities in West Lafayette, Indiana, and Jackie Vakes of Stewart Peterson from right here in Champaign County.
Support for Commodity Week comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
Hey, remember, you can always find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. Well, let's open today's discussion with this question. Bill Mayer, are you comfortable with a 1.9 billion bushel new crop corn carryout coupled to a $5.40 new crop December corn price?
Well, let me answer it this way, Todd. I guess if it was November and we had the crop in the bin and we had that 1.9 billion bushel carryout staring at us and assured, I guess I probably wouldn't be comfortable with that price. That 540 price may actually be a little bit high, but we have a lot of things yet to consider. I think one thing that USDA told us today was that usage is higher than we thought it was, so I'm not sure that we're not looking at a little bit higher usage numbers next year. We also have some acres planted in a lot of states that may not be able to contribute to that trend yield that we've seen in recent years. So I'm not sure what number you throw in there. I read some of Darrell's stuff today, and I think he's looking at the 159, 160 as still being a fair number. So we have a long ways to go. The market has a lot of work to do here to get some more bean acres, and I think we'll still put some more weather premium in this market before it's all over.
Jackie Vakes?
Well, I couldn't have said it any better than what Bill did. What I'll add to it, though, is that when you look at the Dakotas contributing 1.47 million more acres of corn, I think it's going to be tough. And you look at that 1.9, you're using 164. We have so much weather ahead of us. We have, well, we're in drought conditions right here in central Illinois. We have drought conditions out in Iowa, and the Dakotas are not that great either. So I think that, am I comfortable with it? Yeah, I'm comfortable with it for today. You bet. There's just too many questions out there that have to be answered yet before I believe that we're going to really sink.
And Chuck Shelby.
Well, the question might be, is the end user comfortable or is China comfortable? I think we saw some buyers come in from around the world. I think as we look forward, as both these have said today, we certainly have a long ways to go. And I think the major factor to me would be the dry weather and the heat, unusual weather pattern we got. It's certainly going to take some timely rains out west and a change of pattern to end up with a 160 type yield.
Yeah, the way the numbers settled up on Friday afternoon, which was USDA report day, and I know most of you will recall that the nearby crop finished with a limit move higher. That's 40 cents. But on the week, kind of a different story. Nearby May, a top at $6.52¾. A bottom for the week. Remember, we give you the open outcry and the electronic trade, day trade, and overnight both. $6.02½ the bottom. May settlement price in the corn, $6.43¼. Friday to Friday, penny and a quarter lower. December corn, $5.40¼ finished down 17¼ on the week. When you look at the nearby corn on the charts, there are lots of things that are happening, but in the monthlies, there was an outside down for the month of March, and it was down 14 cents, I think, or something thereabouts. It was a pretty deep cut.
Yeah, I kind of researched that this afternoon, Todd, and we had an outside down month last March, March of 11 as well, and also in June of 11. So it's not that unusual. You know, after the June 11, we did see some down move in the markets for a little while. I think we're still kind of in this overall sideways uptrend if you look at a long-term chart. That's concerning, though. And, I mean, I think what we looked at today with the acreage, and you brought up in the first question that, you know, we're going to build stocks more than likely this year. So I think a person has to be on a defensive mode. And if you do get some of this premium that I talked about in the market, I think you got to move to, you know, try to put some floors underneath there. I think you still give yourself upside because we do have a lot of time to go. But, you know, look at getting some protection on there.
Let's deal with old crop just for a bit first, Jackie. Corn stocks in all positions on March the 1st, according to USDA's reports Friday morning, totaled 6.01 billion bushels. That's 8% below last year's stocks number, the second quarter number. A total of 3.19 billion bushels of are stored on farms, down 6% from a year earlier. Off-farm stocks at 2.82 billion bushels, down 10% from a year ago. What'd you make of those numbers?
Well, I think the thing that really stands out is when you look at the how much corn the farmer is actually sitting on. He's sitting on 53% of the crop this year versus 48%. And if there's anything that's going to negate an outside down month, I believe that's what's going to do it, because farmers at this point in time don't seem to need a lot of money. They when you talk with them, they have the $7 figure in mind. And if they didn't sell on this push down that we just had, then I think it's going to take an improvement in futures and an improvement in basis to get the corn out of those tight fists at this point in time. So it just said to me when I looked at it, we haven't really slowed down on feeding, we haven't really slowed down on exports, and we have not slowed down as much on ethanol as a lot of people had been touting. And so if that's the case, I think that the old crop corn needs to move forward to get something into the commercial hands.
Well, let me follow up just a bit, though. Does that, I'll call it an artificial short because it's in hands somewhere, just strong hands at this point. Mm-hmm. Does that come back to roost at some point?
Oh, you bet it does. You bet it does. I mean, you know, if they don't move it before we get to the point, at this point in time in talking with guys, a lot of guys really wouldn't need to move it probably until we had a clean bins, you know, and that's a long ways down the road. And that really is scary from a commercial standpoint of having access to corn. But it will come back to roost, yeah. It could come back in the form of killing the ethanol industry. Pennsylvania is a good example. They had an ethanol plant that closed up probably 6 weeks ago, 6-7 weeks ago, put 20 million bushels back out into the marketplace, and the ethanol plant had already covered itself by buying 20 million in from the Midwest because they were fearful that they weren't going to have enough corn, and now suddenly they have 40 million in the wrong place. You know, so we have to be very careful. And we have to think of the long-reaching impact that it could have if we hang on too long and too tight.
Chuck, both Jackie and Bill mentioned disappearance and usage. In the last quarter, it was 3.64 billion bushels, according to USDA. That compares with 3.53 billion bushels during the same period last year. Did it surprise you that it was moving that quickly?
Well, we've talked about on these shows before that we always have thought that the disappearance was bigger than USDA had been describing. So in our minds, it had gone somewhere, and we're finally seeing the USDA own up to that. And I think it was really huge this week to see China buy old crop corn in a significant quantity. So I, as we look forward, see that we have one situation going on in the United States, and farmers are tight holders of what they have left. I think I would agree with Jackie, $7 might be a number they're looking for. But I think when you look at world buyers coming in, it doesn't take much world buying from China to continue to eat away at that and shrink that number up.
Okay.
Yep. I think it's important to kind of look at what we just review here for just a minute, because the down move that we saw this week probably had more to do with the fact that there is a longs in the market decided, you know, we've been stung on these stocks reports for a couple of times here. We're going to get out of this market before the stocks report. And we saw a lot of fund selling prior to today's report, Friday's report. And then when the report came out, found out, hey, we didn't need to be in that position and had to come back in. So the move that we had down was probably exaggerated. The reaction to the report today was probably exaggerated somewhat because we were we did catch some people in a short position.
I think you also got to look at wheat. Wheat and corn help each other out. We finally saw the wheat number shrink. It's been talked about for a long time. Why are not talking about the wheat being used in feed? Finally, we see a wheat number that's positive, and that's going to help corn too.
Well, and the other thing I think that none of us have talked about, today was not only USDA day. Today was the end of the month and the end of the quarter. And when you talk about end of the quarter, that's a huge situation when it comes to the funds as far as a repositioning goes. And so there were so many factors in the marketplace. When you look at the wheat, I thought that was interesting too. The farmers holding 2.2% more wheat right now than they were a year ago. So they're betting on the fact that we're tight for corn, and that if we really want tight of corn, wheat prices are going to go a lot higher too.
Okay, Bill, on the other set of numbers, which was more interesting to you, the 95.9 million acres for corn or the 73.9 million acres for soybeans? Corn was, up 4% from last year. Soybeans were down 1%, but it was a small number.
Boy, it's interesting. And I looked at the some stuff today that, you know, when you look at all the crops going through cotton and, you know, soybeans, canola, the whole sorghum, everything, and really if you go back to 2006, you really kind of see about every year around that 250 to 252 million acres. 2007 when we had, or I'm sorry, 2008, and this year kind of are the outliers. We're up in that 256, 257 area. So I don't want to argue with the total acres there, but I think a lot's changed since the 1st of March. I think we've already seen some more bean acres got bought. I think that there are some farmers, not in Illinois maybe, but some farmers in some areas that are looking at these beans pretty serious, because we're up over, 2.5 something now.
Yep.
Ratio.
Yeah, we're at 2.54. And I was talking to someone who deals seed in Nebraska. He said they're taking semi-loads of corn seed back and exchanging it for bean seed. So the switching is going on in other areas. I think, you know, when you look at the major states, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, I don't think we'll probably see as much change here as we may see in some of those outlying states.
The dilemma to the market is, okay, June 30th, we switch a million acres to beans away from corn, and what's that going to do to corn when you look at that scenario? So, again, it's a battle, and the answer is a long ways off. We need to grow a good crop of both corn and beans to meet the need.
Did Friday's USDA reports and the reaction to it help solve any confusion in your mind about what's happening with the marketplace?
I think it just leads to further volatility down the road.
Well, I don't think, you know, confusion. I think we had to somewhat expect what we were seeing prior to this report.
I think we're just kind of continuing to move in this sideways range on corn. And, you know, if you throw this week out and just kind of see what we did before and see what we do after, it's going to be interesting to see, though, what the planted acres are on Monday's report, if they come out with a national, which I think they will on Monday.
Right, and I think that one of the things that traditionally we usually understate corn acres on this report and overstate bean acres, this may be the first time we did exactly the opposite.
May wheat futures this week had a high of $6.70 and a half, a low at $6.11 and a quarter. Settlement price there at $6.60 and three quarters of a cent. Finished 6.5 cents higher. July futures $6.74, up 9.5. The soybean numbers finished with the May contract on a high at $14.16 for the week, the low at $13.51. Settlement price at $14.03, up 37.25 for the week. And November beans $13.58. up 35.5. Live cattle futures at $120.45 were down $4.05 for the week. The April feeders at $148.82.5, off $3.60. And lean hogs finished the April contract at $83.42.5, down $1.60. Are you feeling friendly to the corn market? And we'll make this just kind of a yes or no.
Short term, I think you got to be friendly to the corn market.
Yes.
Yes.
All right. In just a couple of minutes, we'll try to find out how Steve Freed from ADM Investor Services in Chicago, Illinois, is feeling too about the corn market and the bean market as well. He'll join us here on Commodity Week. You can always hear it again anytime you like off our website, or for the very first time if you like. It airs on many of our radio stations a few hours after we post it to WILLAG.org. It's there about 6 p.m. each and every Friday evening. That, of course, is Central Time. This is Commodity Week from Illinois Public Media.
I'm Jim Angel, state climatologist located at the Illinois State Water Survey at the Prairie Research Institute on the campus of the University of Illinois. This is by far the warmest March on record at 54.7 degrees. That is nearly 3 degrees warmer than the old record of 51.6 degrees set back in 1946. It is almost 15 degrees above normal as well. At last count, the high temperatures in the state tied or broke 408 daily records at sites around the state. The concern now is that the risk of a damaging freeze remains through much of April. The statewide average precipitation for March was 2 inches, about 3 quarters of an inch below normal. The warm, dry weather has really dried out the top few inches of topsoil in many fields. That's good news for field work. Subsoil moisture looks to be in good shape across the state. However, an area of abnormally dry conditions was added to the U.S. Drought Monitor this week because of the below normal precipitation this year and lower than normal stream flows in central Illinois. Looking at the 10 warmest Marches in the past, we found that they were followed by a cooler than normal April on average. The good news is that a warm March is not necessarily a sign of a hot summer. In fact, the following summers were near normal in terms of temperatures in almost all cases. However, these summers have had a tendency to be slightly on the dry side. I'm Jim Angel, state climatologist at the Illinois State Water Survey.
Support for Commodity Week comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of 5 new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
This is the March 30 edition of Commodity Week from the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois. Our panelists in studio include Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities, Jackie Vakes of Stewart Peterson, and Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing. On the phone line with us, Steve Freed of ADM Investor Services in Chicago, Illinois. Steve, how was the shock and awe feel this morning at CME Group Central?
Well, I think in general there were a couple people that have been questioning the way the market's been reacting over the last 9 days, especially in corn, and I think they've been questioning some of the USDA numbers, and so they felt somewhat vindicated. But, you know, these markets are so hot and cold that you really couldn't get in today at what you would consider a good price, and you still don't know where value is, but I think that there were some people here that have been screaming for the last few months that the USDA numbers were wrong, and they feel somewhat vindicated.
Steve, I guess my question is on China, and China came in and purchased some corn here before the report. You know, how much corn do they need to come in and buy before the market gets excited about it?
Well, I think that was a little bit of a disappointment. In the good old days, if they were buying, just the fact they were buying would have probably rallied prices instead of breaking corn prices 70 cents like we did over the last 9 days. I really don't know if anybody knows exactly what China needs right now. I think that people that visit China, they kind of get three things out of visiting there. I think, number one, you get the feeling that they're still going to buy commodities, and all this talk about their economy slowing and things like that, you really don't see that in China itself. And talking about corn, they know that their usage is going to go up every year. And they're worried that, you know, maybe their stocks have been overstated, and maybe they need to buy corn, maybe every year, more corn. A lot of that depends upon their yields and their weather. But I think that if they came in, and there's about 1.7 million tons of licenses that are available for them to buy, instead of buying, you know, 16 cargoes like they bought this week with private companies in the South, if they came in and bought that 1.7 million tons of corn, I think that would be a game changer for old crop corn, because we, according to these numbers, we don't really have it to sell to them.
You know, Steve, can you give me just what your impression is? What happens if we've had an extremely warm spring and we get in and we have a cooler than normal summer growing season, and therefore we don't get the early corn that we need, and with how tight farmers are hanging onto the grain, what might that do to a commercial grain facility and or the ethanol industry?
Well, first of all, these are my thoughts, not those of ADM or ADM Investor Services, so I kind of want to stress that. And I think that a couple of things that we've been looking at is, you know, the March-May corn spread went out at an inverse, and we would expect probably the May-July spread to do the same. People will be watching the July D's corn spread, and I think it's part of the function of the market to try to get farmers to plant corn as early as possible so that we can use some new crop corn in old crop demand. We probably will see increased wheat feeding. Now, that's what some of the implications are for, you know, if wheat's going to turn friendly, one of the things would be that we'd see some increased feeding. But, you know, we always have mentioned that we need to go to 7.25 to kind of slow some of the ethanol production down. And so, you know, if there's some delays in the crop, you know, we would have to start cutting back on demand.
Steve, we hadn't talked much about beans today, but that number, I've seen some folks look at maybe some rationing is needed. If we only get 74 million with a, you know, 42 or 40 type yield, it's going to take a big yield to really keep beans in check. So what's your thoughts on the soybean market?
Well, it's probably the most concerning market. I think before these numbers, we had some commercials that were using for the U.S. 2012-13 soybean carryout of a negative number. You know, that's not going to happen. Price will either buy acres here or South America, or we'll have to ration demand. This week, the Chinese talked about increasing their crushing capacity, and they mentioned that they were going to take 57 million tons of beans instead of the government's 55. And I think there's a lot of commercials that feel next year they'll take 61 million tons of beans. And so there was some people that thought that between now and 2014, we need to increase bean acres worldwide, 12 million acres, and we need to grow another 30 million tons of beans just to satisfy the demand. So, you know, the bean situation is one that, you know, cannot be fixed at today's prices.
Is there a place at which you would feel planting pace in the United States would be moving fast enough to allow the bean number acreage figure, that is, to be bought by beans and satisfy both old crop corn and new crop beans?
Well, you know, I think that we were all looking for, you know, one of the fastest corn planting seasons on record. You know, the ground's ready to go. It's just the question mark is some questions about crop insurance and some questions about, you know, how would the corn crop react being planted, you this early. And seed companies really don't know how, does it affect the yield? Does it make it better, make it worse? They really don't know. I think that, like Jackie had said, we had heard that, especially in Nebraska, cancellation of anhydrous orders, farmers are already thinking about switching to beans. But if you switch a million acres of beans, that only adds 40, maybe 50 million bushels to the carryout. And if you take a million bushels off of corn, that only takes the corn carryout down 150 million bushels. So, it almost, you need to do more. And I don't think that that's going to happen. Historically, there could be, on the average, 1.5 million acres switched back and forth. But, still, if you're in central Illinois and you get 250 bushel corn and you can sell it for 550 or higher, that's a lot of money that that is still better than the beans. So I think what this report did, I think someone said it earlier, just sets the foundation for a lot of volatility this year. This week we saw where one of the big trading houses had downgraded commodities, and yesterday we had probably the lowest commodity loss since 2009. We've heard the Fed talk about higher interest rates and money started leaving commodities, if that's true. So, we still have to trade weather, and so this report was good for the farmers, but it added to the volatility.
Well, and you talk about having more bean acres. We saw that they're planting less cotton acres than a year ago, but more than we expected, so that takes away from bean acres. Really, is there the availability? I think the highest number of acres of all planted acres we've ever had is 325 million acres. We're at 322.5. Do you think we can add to that?
Well, I don't think so. I think that back in the 30s, we had more acres planted, but I think we've lost some land because of water availability and urban sprawl and things like that. So, I don't think I'm going to tear up my yard and plant beans in it, but I think the market needs a combination of more U.S. acres and a lot more South American acres. We already saw a report that Brazil had planned on increasing their acres 3-4%. They have 100 million acres that they could put into production. They could even, plant less sugar and more beans. And there was even some talk that they've already sold 20% of their 2013 crop, which is not even planted yet. So I think the burden is more on South America than necessarily us.
Steve, thank you so much for taking the time with us today.
Thank you. And I think that... like I said earlier, this is a good day for farmers.
Thanks so much. Steve Fried is with ADM Investor Services in Chicago, Illinois, Vice President of Research there, and joins us here on this March 30th edition of Commodity Week. Now time for a final word from our panelist in studio. We'll start with you, Bill Mayer.
I'd say kind of keep your head about you here. Continue to sell into this bean rally slowly. And look for opportunities on the new crop corn to put some floors underneath.
Jackie Bix of Stuart Peterson.
I'd like to see you employ some option strategies, give yourself a nice good floor down below you and opportunity to gain if the market goes higher.
And Chuck Shelby.
I think we've all talked about and today how important the weather is going to be as we move forward in this growing season, so be very flexible in your marketing plan.
Again, our thanks to Chuck Shelby, Bill Mayer, Jackie Vakes, and Steve Fried. And that wraps up this March 30 edition of Commodity Week. You can find us online anytime you'd like at willag.org. That's willag.org. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.